So we're moving deep into the heart of the retreat now, settling more fully into the silence, the solitude, the slowing down, the simplicity, the samadhi that supports transformative insights. So now that we are in the heart of this retreat, it feels like a good time to bring in more of the heart practices that I mentioned briefly the other night, the four Brahmavihara meditations that cultivate kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity. And these are four particularly skillful mind states or heart states that, as I mentioned the other day, provide benefits in two different ways. When we cultivate them, they develop a resilience of heart and mind that helps to prevent unskillful states from coming up in the first place. But if those unskillful states do happen to come up, then the Brahmaviharas are also a very powerful antidote that helps them to release. And just as with the four establishments of mindfulness, these are four qualities that we can gradually train in, gradually develop. And when we can cultivate all four of them together, they strengthen and reinforce each other, similar to how a four-ply piece of rope, a four-strand piece of rope, is much stronger than a single-ply piece of rope. And in this tradition, we start by developing the first of these four qualities, which is metta or kindness. Because in many ways, metta is the foundation out of which the other three develop. So to get a sense of that relationship, here's a quote from Longchen Rabjampa, a 14th century Tibetan Buddhist monk. He says, "Out of the soil of friendliness or metta, grows the beautiful bloom of compassion, karuna. Watered with tears of joy, mudita, under the cool shade of the tree of equanimity." So metta then is the soil out of which all these beautiful heart qualities grow. And that's where I'd like to start this afternoon with a guided metta meditation in a few minutes. But first, just a little bit more context about what metta is and how it's usually practiced. So the word metta is commonly translated into English as loving kindness. But to some ears, that can sound a little bit sentimental, a little bit naive or wishy-washy. And the loving part can make people think that they're supposed to dissolve into some wave of oceanic bliss. And then if that doesn't happen, they get very frustrated, fall into self-judgment. But in terms of the practice that we're doing now, just plain kindness is more than enough. It might sound ordinary, but it has immense power. So for example, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, he recognized the power of kindness when he said, "My religion is very simple. My religion is kindness." It's so simple that it's radical and very profound. Imagine if everyone in the world spent just one day a week, or even 1 hour a day, practicing kindness. The world would be a very different place. So following the Dalai Lama's example, I'd like to keep things simple and see if we can just begin to orient our hearts and minds in the direction of metta, of kindness. So in the instructions that follow, I'll mostly leave the word metta untranslated so you can put your own definition in there. If loving kindness feels fine for you, then feel free to use that. In the suttas, one definition of metta is non-ill will, which makes the bar fairly low, hopefully fairly accessible. If all we're doing is cultivating non-ill will, that's a very powerful start. So although the Buddha stressed the importance of metta in so many of his teachings, he didn't give a lot of actual instructions about how to do it. In the Key Sutta, all he said was to, quote, "abide with our hearts imbued with metta, and then radiate this kindness outwards in the four compass directions, north, south, east, and west, then above, below, and all around to cover the entire world. So the sutta starts with the assumption that our hearts are already imbued with kindness, which for a lot of people is quite a big assumption. To me, it feels a little bit like trying to start the car in fourth gear. We need a little bit of a transition to be able to find that quality of metta in the heart. So perhaps for this reason, after the lifetime of the Buddha, approximately 1,000 years later in the Visuddhimagga, this technique of reciting phrases to cultivate kindness developed. Reciting phrases and then offering them to different categories of beings. So that's the style of practice that we've inherited in the insight meditation through teachers such as Jack Kornfield and Sharon Salzberg and so on. And it involves bringing to mind a sequence of different people and reciting phrases of well-wishing for them. For example, the ones I'll be using today, may you be safe, may you be healthy, may you be happy, may you know peace. And I'm sure many of you already have your own practice and your own phrases, so when you're doing this on your own, of course, work with whatever is easy for you. And feel free to develop phrases of your own if you don't yet have any. And the benefit of this reciting phrases method is that it can remind us of the mind states that we're aiming for, which helps to keep the attention focused. And because we're working with specific people, it can feel a bit more real. So with this set of instructions, we're encouraged to start with where the metta comes most easily, and then progress to increasingly challenging categories of people, and then all beings everywhere. And sometimes to illustrate this, the image of a waterfall is used. So we start with where metta comes most easily, and let the top basin of the waterfall slowly fill. And when that basin is full, it naturally spills over, and we can cultivate metta for the next category of person. And when that basin is full, the water naturally goes, and so on, down. And this process might take months, might take years, might take the whole rest of our lives. Like all the other practices I'm offering here, they're endlessly refinable. So we don't have to rush through each category. So I'll be saying more about the other Brahmaviharas later in the retreat, but I want to just sort of put in a little flag now that for some people, given this invitation to start with where the practice comes most easily, for some people metta isn't the easiest place to start. For some people compassion or self-compassion might be the doorway in. For others it might be mudita, appreciative joy, gratitude. And for others, it might be equanimity. Nevertheless, I'm going to start with metta, but keep in mind that metta, just because we teach it first, is not supposed to be the default response to everything. Depending on some situations, one of the other Brahmaviharas might actually be more appropriate. I'll say more about that later in the retreat. So with this idea of starting where it comes most easily, in the Visuddhimagga, we generally start with metta for ourselves. But as many people know, ourselves are not always the easiest place to start. So today I'm going to be starting with the second category, which is the category known as the benefactor, or sometimes described as the easy being. So this category of benefactor or easy being refers to anyone who might have helped you in some way, anyone that you naturally feel a sense of gratitude towards, or respect, or appreciation, someone you feel a natural sense of warmth for, perhaps a mentor, or a teacher, or a spiritual teacher. It could be a family member, perhaps a kindly aunt or uncle or a grandparent. Could be a young person, a grandchild or favorite niece or nephew. It might even be someone you don't know very well at all. Perhaps, again, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, or Thich Nhat Hanh, or Pema Chodron, or Tenzin Palmo. Could be a non-human being, such as a pet, or a particular wild animal that you might feel a sense of affinity to. It really doesn't matter who or what this category of benefactor or easy being is. It's most important that you feel a sense of warmth, of kindness, of appreciation when you think of them. And I just want to check before we start, how many people find guided metta meditations somewhat challenging? 1, 2, 3, probably more who aren't yet ready to admit it. Or maybe not, we'll see. I just want to normalize that it can be challenging because often there's an assumption that we're trying to manufacture some kind of emotional response. And if the emotions don't cooperate, which often they don't, or if worse, they go in the opposite direction, then we can assume that either we're doing something wrong, there's something deeply flawed about us, or the practice is wrong. There's something wrong with the practice itself. So just to keep in mind that this is not about trying to manufacture an emotion. It's trying to connect with a quality that somewhere in there is actually already in existence. It just needs a little bit of encouragement to be seen, to allow itself to show. And so this can also, sometimes this brings up sort of performance anxiety. It brings out our inner two-year-old when we're told to sit down and practice kindness. Something goes, no, I'm not going to. And just like with a two-year-old, respect that. Don't force the two-year-old to do what you want. Give it space. Surround it with space. And that can be a kind of metta in and of itself. So the other thing to keep in mind is that we're cultivating the intention, not the emotion. The emotion is a byproduct. So whether or not you feel it is irrelevant. So this term Brahmavihara, ultimately these states are practiced to become unconditional without any kind of strings attached, any kind of agenda. So if we're doing the practice to try and feel something in particular, then it's not unconditional. So we're just setting an intention. And if all we did for the next 30 minutes was mechanically recite these phrases, and it didn't feel like there was any flicker of emotion, that's fine. Just that repeatedly planting the seed, planting the seed, planting the seed. We don't know if or when it may flower into something that feels perhaps a little more authentic. So having patience for this process. As I said, it's a lifetime practice. And generally for myself, I find it easier to offer warmth and kindness to others if I have some connection with my own well-being. So I'll be beginning by inviting us to connect with aspects of our physical experience right now that's in the terrain of well-being. So building on the Vedana practice we were doing yesterday, consciously tuning into pleasant feeling tone can be very supportive to help the metta flourish. Okay, so I think that's enough of an overview to be going on with.